Welcome to St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820 CCL Football Game of the Week. The CCL Football Game of the Week is brought to you by the Mount Carmel Foundation. Your play-by-play announcer tonight is Randy Reinhart, along with color analyst coach Larry Wolf. Tonight's matchup is an opening round game of the Division IV playoffs as Hartley travels to Jonathan Alder. And now here's Randy Reinhart and Larry Wolf with the CCL Football Game of the Week.
From 1997 to 2006, and it was a stalemate. Hartley won the first five and Alder the last five chapters. Tonight, a new chapter will be written between these two schools. And Larry, what can we expect this evening between Jonathan Alder and Bishop Hartley?
Well, first of all, both programs are going to be tough, hard-nosed, hard-hitting football teams. But I think the advantage goes to Hartley. They're a little bigger, a little stronger, a little faster. And Jonathan Alder's not going to quit, I can guarantee it.
We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll hear from both head coaches. This is the CCL Game of the Week on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820.
Get 0% financing for 72 months on almost all remaining 2016 Ford vehicles at Bob Boyd Ford in Lancaster. This is Bobby Dawes, and for a limited time, you can buy a new 2016 Ford F-150, the best-selling vehicle in the world, and pay 0% up to 72 months. Shop us 24/7 at BobBoyd.com and experience for yourself. The best deals are always on Route 33 at the Bob Boyd Auto Family. Good people, great deals. It's the Bob Boyd way.
The Bob Boyd way.
Because from the moment we meet, you become the most important patient we could possibly have. It's why we'll go above and beyond today. And go even further tomorrow. Because caring for you is an honor and a blessing. At Mount Carmel, you are the reason for everything we do. You are why we seek the best people, with the highest levels of skill, training, and experience, and why we invest in the best equipment, from life-saving technology to healing spaces with all the comforts of home. So you can get better. So you can live, work, play, love. Mount Carmel, because of you.
Education First Credit Union is dedicated to providing our members the best possible loan and savings rates in a friendly and professional manner. We offer savings and checking accounts, certificates of deposit, investment and retirement accounts, and loans including auto, home, and personal. Education First Credit Union is an equal housing opportunity lender, NMLS number 811-029, and federally insured by the National Credit Union Administration.
And welcome back to the pregame show, joined now by the head coach of the Hawks, Brad Birchfield. And coach, talk about the season in retrospect. As you look back on the team from 2016, what thoughts do you take away from the regular season?
You know, you reflect back early season where, you know, we dropped a couple games, and it's never comfortable starting out 0-1 or starting off 2-2, and you kind of feel like your back's up against the wall. And those were great football teams we lost to and just fantastic games. But then you go into the kind of second half of the season and we really had our way with people. And while that's good that we were able to get out in front of people, you still don't know. It's been months since we've been tested. And you don't know what you have. I've been really proud that our team's gotten better. They've improved as the year's gone on. They've really been locked in on that. But now at this point of the season, you know, everybody you play is going to be really good and really confident.
Let's talk about Jonathan Alder. You guys have a sense of history with this team. You guys played for, what, about a decade in the past. Talk about what you know about Alder then and now and what has changed for the Pioneers.
I know Coach Geyer, who I respect so much, did not appreciate the Jonathan Alder rivalry. You know, he was sportsmanly but very bitter towards playing them. They were very hot, which told me they were very hotly contested. You know, we won the first five and then lost the last five. So that's not always a good recipe. So that left obviously a bad taste in our mouth. There were a couple times where we were close to playing again in the regular season where Coach Coat and I had spoken about it. It just never came to fruition. But, you know, they were big, strong, physical, well-coached. Their community has a passionate following for Pioneer football. Today, they're really good. I mean, when I see them, they're dominating teams. The only games they've lost, the only game they lost, obviously they lost without their big, great receiver. Pugh. And so, you know, they're a well-coached football team, good, similar to the teams you're going to play this time of year. Very confident team, very aggressive team.
So if you had to pick some keys to victory tonight in this contest, what do you have to do to come out on top?
It'd be great if we could get off to a fast start. We've done that often, and but we kind of take that for granted. I don't want us to, if we don't get off to a fast start, they come out with a great plan. Obviously, we're not going to panic. We're going to keep chipping away. And, you know, they've got a great running game, big, huge offensive line. So if they're able to lean on us and kind of convert those first downs and chunk the ball down the field, you know, that's our greatest fear.
Does it matter to you in week number 11 that you're not playing at home as a number 5 seed? You're on the road, although you played the first 6 weeks of the season on the road. How do you approach that?
Selfishly, you like to have a home game. We love Jack Ryan Field. We think we got a great advantage there. But we're grateful for being in the playoffs. I mean, it's the top 30% of the schools in Ohio are now left, and we're grateful to have that opportunity. If any team, as we've told the kids for the last few weeks, if any team is prepared to play on the road, it's got to be us. I mean, we've played a lot of big road games this year.
And finally, the progression of the kicking game. Have you seen the growth from week 1 to week 11 that you would like to see?
Yeah, I didn't realize this until I opened up the dispatch on Tuesday. Mateo is the leading kicker in Central Ohio with 71 points, so I thought that was pretty exciting. I didn't even realize it. He's only a sophomore. He's going to get a lot better.
Coach, good luck tonight.
All right, thank you.
More of the pregame show just around the corner. This is the CCL Game of the Week as presented by the Mount Carmel Foundation here on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820.
Stuck in a state of falling behind? Struggling to keep up with your kids, your finances, your insurance, your life? Then let State Farm agent Kevin Smith help you simplify and get to a better state. Because with Kevin Smith handling your auto, home, and life insurance, you'll have more time to handle everything else. More money, too. Because adding State Farm policies can earn you discounts that could add up to 40% and actually help you get ahead. Call State Farm agent Kevin Smith in Columbus today and get to a better state with State Farm.
Position yourself for success at Ohio Dominican University.
With an outstanding academic reputation, ODU offers an education that produces graduates grounded in faith, values, and ethics.
Ranked in the top tier of U.S. News and World Report's rating of Midwest universities, Ohio Dominican offers a wide range of academic programs that are in demand in today's marketplace.
Whether you're launching your career or preparing for grad school, ODU is here to position you for future success.
Connect your passion with a purpose.
Learn more at ohiodominican.edu.
Malik & Malik, a family-owned law firm that provides quality and compassionate legal representation in the Columbus, Ohio region for people who have suffered injuries and deserve proper compensation. Our Columbus, Ohio attorneys are dedicated to helping you recover your rightful compensation for job-related and worker compensation injuries, as well as injuries resulting from car and truck accidents, dog bite claims, and more. Visit us at maliklawfirm.com.
Hi, I'm Mike DeAndrea from Miracle Motor Mart. Our pricing is about half of new. Think about it. If we sell you a product at a great price and it is very reliable, well, that makes you a happy customer. Which explains why over the past few years, Miracle Motor Mart has become the largest independent dealer by the number of vehicles sold in the state of Ohio. Listen, go to miraclemotormart.com. You'll be glad you did.
Welcome back to the pregame show, joined now by the head coach of the Pioneers, Brett Glass. Coach, talk about your season. You have to be happy with your team's play, but give us a recap of the 2016 campaign.
Yeah, we started off strong, won our first 8 games, had a little slip-up week 9 against River Valley, really good football team, but came back week 10, got another win, and finished 9-1. We're able to be the outright MOAC conference champ, so I've been really happy with how we've played beginning to end.
Let's talk about your offense. What can we see offensively from Alder in this game?
We're going to be built around our power running game. That's kind of been our MO all year. Jamie Dye's run for about 1,300 yards. Austin Foose is another guy that's going to carry the ball a lot for us, but also expect big things from our quarterback, Preston Eisnagel, to make plays when he has the opportunities there.
How big is it to have that much experience in the backfield? Because I saw those guys last year, too.
Yeah, a lot of our offense, especially our skill players, our offensive line, we're breaking in some new guys, but skill player-wise, have a lot of guys back, so they're able to handle a lot as far as little adjustments because they've kind of been in the playbook for at least 2 years.
And offensively, you like 2 backs and 3 receivers. Why do you like that look?
It gets our best players on the field. For the most part, we will flex one of our receivers into a tight end and kind of put his hand in the dirt. But it allows us to be multiple in formations a little more and get our best players out there on the field.
Is Austin Foose one of the biggest running backs you've ever had at 245 pounds?
I would say he is the biggest by far, but he has great feet even at that size.
Let's talk about the defense now. In the past, you ran a 4-2 with Tim Brink, a guy that has ties to Central Ohio at Buckeye Valley and Reedy in the past. Are you still running the 4-2 and why?
Yeah, we're still a 4-2 defense, 4-4, same thing, kind of looks similar. It allows us, again, similar to offense, allows us to get our best players on the field, be a little bit multiple, how we play things on the edge, and you know, be fast, have athletes out there.
Who are some of the players to watch for on defense for you guys?
I would say Brian Black, our free safety, a guy who has played outside at our strong safety or outside linebacker position, but also at free safety, has 5 interceptions on the year, kind of always around the ball, makes a lot of big plays. At linebacker, Hunter Maynard, senior 2-year starter, makes all of our defensive calls and also makes a lot of tackles for us. So those are two of the biggest guys. And then the secondary, Dalton Potts at corner, also has 4 interceptions and made some big plays.
And Coach, keys to victory tonight when you take on Bishop Hartley. Obviously, you know about their lineage, and you've played against them in the past. What do you have to do to beat the Hawks tonight?
I think any time you play Bishop Hartley, you know you're going to have to strap it up and stop their run game. You know, Coach Birchfield bases their whole program kind of on that run game and getting different guys the ball in different ways. So that's number one key to victory for us, would be to stop the run game. And then, you know, play ball control on offense, make big plays when they're there, and then anytime you're in the playoffs, two good teams going at it, winning the turnover battle, I would say is always a big key.
Coach, best of luck tonight.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
More of the pregame show just around the corner. This is the CCL Game of the Week, as presented by the Mount Carmel Foundation here on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820.
There are many ways to listen to AM 820 on the radio, online, and on smartphones. Listen live on your Android and iPhone using St. Gabriel Radio's very own app available from your app store. You can also get the Catholic perspective on your computer. Just go to stgabrielradio.com and use the listen button at the top of the homepage. Tune into the faith as you cruise across town and around the world.
Instead of trading in your old car, truck, or van, think about donating it to St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. In fact, St. Gabriel Radio is a nonprofit that accepts all vehicle donations. Your gift helps to spread the word of God to a multitude of listeners all over Ohio and may qualify you for a tax break. It's easy and hassle-free. Call 614-459-4820 or visit us online at stgabrielradio.com.
Welcome to the second season. It is the postseason here on the CCL Football Game of the Week. Ryan Baker back in the studios of AM 820 for you tonight, getting you ready for Division 4 as Hartley is on the road at Jonathan Alder. The three other teams also in action, the Catholic teams in the area this weekend. Tonight, 7-3 Reedy is on the road at undefeated River. That is a matchup of 8-1 seed. Tomorrow at 1:30 in the afternoon, Newark Catholic heads on the road to take Bel Air. Both teams 6-4 on the regular season heading into that one. And tomorrow night, the second CCL Game of the Week, as we will be on the air with the coverage of DeSales hosting Sheridan. Of course, DeSales, the number one seed in Division 3. Region 11. A lot of playoff action going tonight. Area teams as Divisions 1, 2, 4, and 6 take to the field. In Division 1, Region 2, Olentangy Orange will be at Olentangy Liberty. A rematch there in that one. Findlay on the road at Dublin Jerome, and Olentangy will head to Lorain. In Region 3, Lancaster's at Huber Heights Wayne. Pickerington North is on the road at Hilliard Bradley. Pick Central, they welcome Springfield to town in a big rematch as Hilliard Davidson heads to Dublin Kaufman. In Division 2, Dublin Scioto's at Massillon Washington. West is at New Albany, and Licking Heights is at Franklin Heights. In Division 4, Heath hosts Philo, and Johnstown Monroe hosts Cambridge. In Division 6, the big game, of course, is the Reedy game as well. Let's head out to Jonathan Alder right now, to Randy Reinhart and Larry Wolf, for the call of tonight's Hartley-Jonathan Alder CCL Football Game of the Week.
Ryan, thank you very much. 48 degrees, a game time win from the north at 3. Hartley wins the toss, and they will receive going right to left in this contest. We're at Volunteer Field on the campus of Jonathan Alder. We should mention one thing going into this contest. The clock is having a hiccup tonight. It is skipping sometimes the even seconds on the clock, and we'll keep an eye on that throughout the evening.
They're not all that important anyhow. Oh, now it just went out. Now that is important.
Now we're... Oh, now it's back on. So there we go.
We're having
fun. It's teed up at the 40-yard line. Ethan Gordon ready to boot it. Number 29, former soccer player, now a soccer player again, and he's got us underway. A little pooch kick this time. Going to go back to around the 18-yard line. The Hawks will start the return up across the 20, 25, up to the 30, and Phillip pull up to around the 33-yard line, sensing in fact that there would be that diagonal or kind of a pooch or a grub kick. So the Hartley had Cole up. Hawks will take over first and 10. The ball across the yard line. And the clock has gone out again. Now there's nothing on the scoreboard whatsoever. Now it's back with 11:54 left to go. This will be a continuous issue here tonight, so we thought we'd let you know at the get-go here. First and 10, mark the ball at the 33-yard line for Bishop Hartley. Jake Ruby, the quarterback, he's going to start this first down play with one back in the backfield.
Like a jet sweep.
Yep.
Rocket.
Yep. Going to the far side. It's going to be Cameron Culver across the 35, the 40, the 45. Culver down along the sidelines, knocked out of bounds, but he's got enough for a first down on the first play from scrimmage. Cameron Culver, 52 carries, 517 yards on the campaign. Add 16 to that now. He's got 533, and it's first down. Up front, the interior five are Nick Dawes along with Thomas Kazmir, Max Steinecker, Cody Kirkbride, and Adam Cohn. The tight end is Jordan Kirkbride. The split end is Jaden Manley. Cameron Culver on the wing. Marquette Dixon is the halfback. And this time they go from an offset look in the backfield. First and 10, mark it officially at the Hawk 49-yard line. It is Dixon who gets the toss, and Marquette inside the 46, down around the 45 of the Pioneers, so pick about six on the play. It'll be second down and four defensively for Jonathan Alder. Tim Brink, the former head coach at Buckeye Valley and an assistant coach at Reedy, handles that 4-2 defense with Colton Swick up front, Austin Foos, Casey Fogel, and Daniel Gowans. Linebackers, Dylan Boysel and Hunter Maynard. And the secondary is Dalton Potts, along with Nate Sullivan, Brian Blackham, Dylan DeVere, and Matthew Seamer. Second down and four from the 45 of Alder now. 45 seconds into this one. Double handoff. Coming back the other way, it's Phillip Cole inside the 45, the 40. 35, Cole sidelines, 25, 20. Cuts it inside, inside the 15-yard line. Far side of the field, down to around the 14 and maybe the 13 before he's brought down. Larry, two handoffs,
yeah,
a big play.
I was talking to Brad Berkshire before the game, and he was talking about how that he couldn't get this play to work. He can't get this play to run. It's the old Joker play out of the wing tee, which is a halfback-to-halfback handoff, and I think he was snowballing me. He does have it to work.
Gain of 33 on the play inside the 13-yard line. 1 minute into this contest. First and 10 Hawks. Backs from the offset. Inik Aniga is the fullback. Dixon the deep man. Blackman now on a wing. Handoff goes to the fullback. Inside the 10-yard line, down to around the 8, maybe the 7 or 6 forward progress for Nick Aniga on the carry. 5'9", 180, and a senior, 34 carries, good for 346 yards coming into this contest. We're going to mark the ball officially, almost touching the 5-yard line, so it'll be second down from there.
Hartley just looks, or appears to be just running plays. They just want to run things to show things, to see things, to see how Jonathan Alder is going to defend them, because there's no rhyme or reason. They're just having some fun doing what they do.
And Nick Cohn now, the fullback. Blackman, the motion man, has an H-back now. Toss goes to Dixon, right up the gut, pushes, plows, fights for the goal line, touchdown. 10:09 left to go. Marquette Dixon gets the score, and that's his 22nd on the ground this season. And just like that, the Hawks lead 6-0.
Hartley's just too physical up front right now. Now, that doesn't mean it's going to continue because they're going to make some adjustments. And Foos and Casey Fogel inside are going to have to be stout all night long. And that's tough to do against this Hartley team.
Austin Foos is a guy that was 6'1 and 210 last year as a junior. Picked up 30 pounds in the offseason. Now plays in the D-line and also as a running back at 6'1 and 240.
Here's my favorite kicker.
There he is. Mateo Agresti, who is 56 of 57. And you heard Brad Birchfield say the leading kick scorer in the area. Number 80, the chance to add one more to the scoreboard and puts it up in. Nails it 7-0. Hawks early on. We played 1:53 of the first quarter on the CCL Game of the Week presented by the Mount Carmel Foundation here on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AMA 20.
Salazzo Marble and Granite cheers on our Catholic high school teams. Salazzo Marble is Ohio's premier provider of gorgeous marble, granite, travertine, and stone tile with the largest selection. Our stone experts are knowledgeable and professional with a 45-year reputation for completing projects on time and on budget. Visit our warehouse and personally select the right stone for your home. That's Salazzo Marble, S-O-L-A-Z-Z-O. Online at salazzomarble.com. Arrivederci.
Guys, only one score in the area to report on so far, and it is not good for the area teams. Maslin has scored a touchdown on their first drive, and they lead Dublin Scioto 7-0.
You know, Brad Birchfield, I think, is giving the Pioneers something to think about. Four different ball carriers on those five plays. Dixon, 5 yards on the touchdown run. Aggressive the PAT. Five plays, 67 yards. Usurped 153 off the clock. And boom, it's 7-0 Hawks. And Agresti to kick it off.
Yeah, you just get the sense that Hartley just came out and scripted five or six plays and said, this is what we're going to do. And
it worked. Sullivan and Dye back deep. Goes to the far side of the field. Return is going to start from the 18 up across the 20, 25, up to the 27-yard line. That time on the return and spinning. And getting the return is number 24, the wide receiver Dalton Potts. We should mention, too, that Potts will see time as a wideout. But one guy that they will not have tonight is Trey Pugh, 6'5", 230, a guy that's committed already to Northwestern, a four-year starter. But another guy they thought would be out with a shoulder injury is coming back tonight. It's Andrew Koenig, 6'3", 185, and a senior, 15 catches for 216 yards.
And he will undoubtedly help their offense because it gives them some stability at that tight end receiver.
Move the ball up a yard and a half to the 28-yard line. 10:02 left to go. First and 10 now. Preston Eisnagel and company, and he wants to throw on a first down play, but there's pressure from Blackman and company, and he cannot get it off. He wanted to throw, and the scrum broke out inside the 25-yard line. As soon as he rolled to his right, Blackman came shooting through the linebacker and made it difficult for him to find anything downfield.
Well, what Hartley's doing is they're going to use their middle linebacker as contain so they can get the push up the inside with the four down linemen, and then they'll use their Mike backer to contain the rollouts on both sides.
Sideline warning already against Hartley, the first one of the contest with 9:50 and ticking first quarter. Preston Eisnagel, 6'1", 190, and a junior, passing 63 of 106 for 1,056 yards, 10 touchdowns, and 2 interceptions last year as a starting quarterback. 1,448 yards passing, 14 touchdowns, and 9 picks. They lost 3 on the play, second down and 13. Eisnagel rolling right, looking on the out pattern, pass incomplete. At the 32-yard line, some contact on the play, looking for Koenig. Incomplete. It'll be third and long.
That was good tight coverage, Jaron. Maybe Jaden Manley got there just a snork hair early, but it wasn't by much.
By how much early?
A snork hair.
Good to know.
There's little snorks. You see him running around.
Is that metric or something?
Yes, as far as you know.
Okay, I didn't know.
That would be a metric snork hair.
A little different. A little different. Well, north of the border.
Yeah.
Well, referee, by the way, tonight is Andy Teeter.
Or south of the border. They do some funny things down there in Kentucky.
Umpire Steve Robeson. Linesman is Brian Lowry. Line judge is Paul Maragos. And the back judge is Joey Miniacci. So third and 13 from the 24. 9:26 left to go. Backs offset. Rolling right is Eisnagel to throw again. Looking downfield. Gunning on the out pattern. Pass this time for Koenig. Had a chance to catch it at the 35. It goes through his paws. Manley on the coverage again. And now it's fourth and long.
It looked like Koenig that time struggled to get his left arm in the air. I mean, the right arm looked like it was up. I don't know which shoulder is injured, but it just seemed to me like he couldn't get his hands up above his helmet.
And what are the odds of losing your two top wide receivers to shoulder injuries a couple of weeks apart?
It's a nightmare. You know, you play a tough schedule, and you get to this point. You know, this is the promised land, and you go in there with half a depth. You know what I mean? It's sad, but it happens all the time to teams.
Preston Eisnagel, the quarterback, is also the punter, averaging 34.6 yards on 32 punts on the campaign. Hartley with deep men back near midfield. Pressure's on. Line drive kick. Phillip Colwin hunted down. Bounces inside the 40. Inside the 33-yard line. Nearly touches his right foot at the 33, but rolls down to the 32-yard line after a punt of some 44 yards.
You did a very nice dance there, Randy. We have a little obstruction in our way here in the press box.
So like my move there?
I didn't like it, but it was nice.
I cannot see from the 50 to the 40. So I just dance around you, and I can see it.
Yeah, as far as you know.
You could find me on Monday nights on ABC, perhaps.
I hope not.
I'd be dancing with the scars, though.
I was
going to
say, it's not dancing at Mars.
First and 10 from the 32-yard line. Backs offset again. One wide out to the top. Let's call for a motion top to bottom now. Rolling is Ruby, dumping to Culver in the flat. Pass was low. If that pass is thrown any higher, he's still running, but makes the catch at the 40-yard line.
They faked the jet sweep. They faked the bootleg and then brought it back to the jet sweep and threw back.
And nothing has been the same play twice.
Nope. They're just calling plays right now. They've scripted these, I'm sure, and they're just going about their business.
Second down and 3. This time it goes to the fullback right up the middle. churning across the 45 up to the 47-yard line. That time of the carry is Nick Onega.
It looks like they're just trying to keep J.A. off balance. They go inside, they go outside, they throw a little pass, they do a little jet sweep, a fake rocket, a counter toss. I mean, they're doing just whatever they want to do at this point.
Neat touch to the 46-yard line. Still enough for the first down, though. 8:35 left to go from Volunteer Field in lovely Plain City. Randy Reinhart, Larry Wolf, Scott Rex, Greg Savoldi. Glad to have you aboard back in the studios. It is Lee Cochran and Ryan Baker, and glad to have you online as well, too, at stgabrielradio.com. Don't forget to get that TuneIn Radio app as well, too. From the 46, again, backs staggered. It's Dixon time. Marquette midfield. 45's got a gap. Dixon third. Dixon 20. Marquette to the 10. The 5. Marquette Dixon. Touchdown. 8:06 left to go. Takes it 54 yards for the score. And another touchdown to Marquette Dixon's total. He's at 23 now. And then it was 13-0.
They faked the jet sweep. The fullback ran the trap path that he ran earlier when he got the trap ball off the jet sweep, and then they handed it back to Marquette Dixon on the right side. He took it to the right, cut back to the left, and it was sayonara.
Man, he can motor, too, for a guy that goes
big.
6 feet and 215 pounds.
215, and he runs angry. He really does
not
run
the
angry.
Woodley or Hickman size that we've seen in the past, but he's got the power and the speed. Agresti out again for the second time in 4 minutes. Snap, kick, it's up. And it's good. 14-0 Hawks. We played 3:54 the first quarter on the CCL Game of the Week here on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820.
Right now, one in three drivers is cruising around in a state of skepticism about just how much value their car insurance company is delivering. If you're one of them, State Farm agent Kevin Smith in Columbus can help you get to a better state because he'll talk with you, listen to you, and help put together a policy that has you written all over it. From costs to coverage, all backed by 24/7 customer support. Feeling less skeptical? Then call State Farm agent Kevin Smith in Columbus and officially get to a better state with State Farm.
A couple big games in Division One tonight, and Pickerington North has an early 7-0 lead over Bradley, and Austin Booth has a touchdown run. Dublin Jerome leads Finley 7-0.
And here, Marquette Dixon now 3 carries, 65 yards, 2 touchdowns. He took that one 54 yards, took 3 plays, 68 yards. The prior one was 5 and 67 yards. Just took 104 off the clock. And now it's 14-0 with Agresti having the honors again. Same area of the field right around the 20-yard line. That's where the return starts, up across the 30, up to the 39-yard line. As that time, it is Nate Sullivan on the return of about 19 yards. So it'll be first and 10 for the Pioneers with decent field position. Again, this is a Pioneer team, Larry, that went 9-1 on the campaign. Their lone loss coming in week number 9, their contest, River Valley, where they lost 18-14. But they have plowed through their opponents, and this is their last season. They played in the Mid-Ohio Athletic Conference Red. They will leave to join the CBC, the Central Buckeye Conference, in the Kenton Trail Division.
Yeah, they're going to head west of here, and they're going to be out of Central Ohio, and that's really sad for Central Ohio football.
It is. They're kind of like Buckeye Valley. Buckeye Valley doesn't really play anybody from Central Ohio. Hand off, there's a big gap right up the middle, up to the 45, up to the 49-yard line. A gain of 9 on the play. Jamie Dye, a guy that has rushed for over 1,300 yards on the campaign, has a 9-yard gain, 2nd and 1.
Well, one of the things Jonathan Alder needs to do is they came out and tried to throw the ball the first 3 times, and it didn't run any clock, and it didn't gain any yards. They need to possess the football, and this ground game might be able to do that.
Tell you about the starters on offense for Jonathan Alder in just a second. 2nd and 1 from the 49. Again, the scoreboard is intermittently going out, so we'll give you as much as we can off of there. What we have from memory. Again, the same guy getting the handoff and finding a gap again. Dye down to around the 40 and falls forward to the 39. And has enough for the first down. Up front in the interior pocket is Drew Bader, who, by the way, is 6'7 and 300 pounds, along with Casey Utsi, Caleb Howell, also Jacob Sullivan and Noel Larison. Wide receiver Andrew Koenig. On the other side, Colton Swick and Dalton Potts. Austin Foos in the backfield. Preston Eisnoggle, the quarterback, and Jamie Dye, the running back, and a gain of 12 on that play.
You know, Coach Glass told us that Austin Foos was physical. Well, he put the wood to somebody from Hartley on that block. He had a great job blocking.
First and 10 for the 39. Again, the same man. It's Dye who gets it inside the 36 to the 35. Picks up about 4 for Jamie on the play. Came into this contest with 194 carries for the 1,300 yards and also 13 touchdowns.
Well, J.A. is starting to move the football here on the ground, and so now that should make the passing game a little more palatable for him.
I'm going to come over closer to you.
I'm going to move away.
Thank you.
Maybe a bar of soap or something might help.
Three Stooges say Saturday is shower night. Wait till Saturday. Second out and six from the 35-yard line. 6:27 left to go. Bishop Hartley with an early 14-0 lead in this one. Two backs in the backfield for Eisnagel. And it's Dye again off the left side. Finds a gap down to the 30-yard line and pushes ahead near the sticks at the 29-yard line. We'll see where they mark the ball.
Just short, I think.
Yep. They're going to say his knee touched at the 30-yard line. So it'll be third down and one from there, Larry.
Well, this is four down territory. So they've got two plays to get this. And right now, Jonathan Alder is getting a little push up front against this Hartley defense.
From the 30, with 5:55 left to go in the quarter.
I think you're going to see a run blitz here by Hartley, though. I think you're going to fill all the gaps with their linebackers, and they're going to come up and try to smack something in the mouth. Here we go.
Dye, four carries, 30 yards the last four plays. Make it five plays now, and where did he get to? He didn't get it. He got knocked down back at the 31-yard line. Shooting through there big time was number 77, Ethan Amaya, whose family listens to the games on AMA 20 and had some nice things to say. Also, he gave you a hard time for calling him such a big guy up front, but he's a guy that controls the line of scrimmage at 6'3 and 260.
And Ethan has to take this play off because he lost his hat.
Yeah. Also, Jordan Smith up there defensively, Thomas Kazmir as well, too. Linebackers are Cody Kirkbride, Jack Boffman, James Reese, Alexander Blackman, and Jake Manley. Secondary, Jacob McPheeters, Cameron Culver, Elijah Carter. Fourth down and one from the 30-yard line.
Here comes your run blitz again.
Dye's got it. Does he have the first down?
No, he does not.
I don't think so.
Ooh, it's close.
Wow, he got to inside the 30-yard line, then pushed back. Let's see where they spot it.
If the far official spots it, he's got it. If the near official spotted it, he's short.
The ball is touching the 30-yard line. The Hawks are going to get the football back. They hold with 5:08 left to go, and the Hawks will get it for the third time.
It's funny because the far official came in, and he was about a foot and a half beyond the line, and the near official came in from the sideline, and he was about a foot short.
So first and 10, Hawks already up 14-0 with the ball resting right at the 30-yard line.
J.A. needs to get a stop here. They've got to control this Hartley offense if they hope to stay in this game.
Hartley with that tight set again. Look at this.
I mean, it's
11 guys offensively. You could put a little box over the top of them. Ruby on a counter play. It goes to Cameron Culver. Culver gets up to maybe the 33, perhaps the 34-yard line before he's knocked down on the play. Daniel Gowans, the defensive end, helping to make the hit on the play.
I was talking to the Jonathan Alder defensive coordinator, Timmy Brink, and we were talking about that fake toss play with the inside handoff. And he goes, yeah, we know it's coming. We just can't stop it.
Yeah.
Because it's a different story.
Toss sweep far side. Marquette Dixon out across the 35, the 40-yard line, up to the 45, and has enough for a Hawk first down with 4:42 left to go.
First down,
Marquette Dixon, you hit it. Runs like an angry man out there.
He does. Like
a lot of pride and passion.
He doesn't want to get hit. And he's mad at you when you try to hit him.
So mark the ball to the 46-yard line, first and 10 from there. This is a lot better than the last time I was out here to do a game.
Yes.
That was the lightning delay game of last year.
Where there was no lightning.
Yeah. Against West Jeff. Keep it on the ground. A man's got and plowing through that time is Nick Onaga across midfield down to the 49-yard line, maybe the 48 before Nick is brought down. 5'9", 180, and a senior. Backed up at fullback, although they actually share time. Nick Cohn at 6'2", and 230, and a junior. So you got two different guys, two different sizes, two different styles of running.
Well, Nick Cohn's in the game now. So now you've got a tailback at 215 pounds and a fullback at who knows how much. I mean, he looks like he's about 230.
Wing to the top, a wide receiver to the top, two backs in the backfield from the eye. Toss goes to Dixon right up the gut, 45-40, 35, Dixon 30, 25, 20, 15, bye-bye, 10, 5, touchdown, 3:51 left to go.
And a 15-yard unsportsmanlike conduct.
At the end of the play, make it 20-0 Hawks.
15-yard unsportsmanlike for showing the football to the defender. This is what happens when you watch too much TV.
Well, we saw that a couple weeks ago on a Thursday night game. You cannot signal a first down as a player either.
Yeah, I mean, that part of it's kind of crazy because can you signal touchdown when you get one of those? Of course you can. I mean, why can't you signal first down?
Well, you hear some NFL players saying one of the reasons the ratings are lower is because there's a lack of personality in the NFL now.
I think the ratings are down because we have football 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, 365 days a year.
And I think also because we have 7 minutes of commercial breaks between a touchdown and a kickoff.
Absolutely.
Unsportsmanlike against the Hawks will be assessed on the kickoff. Think about that. Touchdown, extra point, 3 minute commercial break. Touchdown, or excuse me, kickoff.
Three more minutes.
Touchback, another 3 or 4 minute break.
Yep.
So in about 8 minutes, you've seen the ball go through the uprights once and go into the end zone the other time.
And it makes for a lot of fun.
20 to nothing. Uh-oh. 59 of 60, perhaps. Snap, kick, it's up. It's good. 21-0 Hawks, 3:51 left to go. 30 seconds is the length of this next break here on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820.
Knights of Columbus Insurance, world's most ethical company, as recognized by the Ethisphere Institute, offering life, long-term care, and disability insurance, along with IRAs and Roth IRAs. Knights of Columbus, a trusted insurance agency with the AM Best A++ Superior Ratings. Contact their general agents, James Valent and Chad Osterholt, at kfc.org.
In a huge rematch, guys, Dublin Kaufman strikes first. They've got a 7-0 lead over Davidson. Another rematch, Olentangy Liberty has a 7-0 lead over Orange.
Here, Marquette Dixon, 5 carries, Ryan, 126 yards, 3 touchdowns. 4 plays, 70 yards. That was a 49-yard run by Dixon. Took 1:17 off the clock. So the drives have been a minute 53, 5 plays. A minute 4, 3 plays. A minute 17, 4 plays.
If they stop giving the ball to Aniga, Dixon might have 400 yards by halftime.
And how many different plays have we seen? Probably about 8 or 9 already?
Yeah, probably 7 or 8 anyhow. And a lot of these plays look similar at the start. You fake a jet sweep, you give to the fullback. You fake a jet sweep, you fake to the fullback, give to the tailback. You know what I mean? You give the jet sweep, give a jet sweep reverse back to the wingback coming the other direction. They all look the same, which makes it difficult to stop. And that's what Coach Brink was talking about before the game.
Agresti has it teed up at the 25 now, remember, because of the penalty. The unsportsmanlike conduct called on the Hawks. We get it across midfield, and then it's going to go out of bounds.
Oh, my. This is a big penalty here.
And they
should be at the 45. Should be at the 45, I think, going in.
They ever make him kick it again?
Well, not if you're going to get it at the 45. You might want to make him kick it again, but shoot, Agresti can kick it 60 yards. So if he gets good and mad, he'll just kick it down to the 20, and then you'll lose 25 yards. Take it at the 45.
Procedural call against the Hawks. And first down, Jonathan Alder now with plenty of work to do. 21-0. The irony of that is they discovered their running game.
It's at the 50.
Okay. Yeah, they have discovered their running game, so see if they go back to that. Well, it was 15 yards in the penalty, so that would move the ball from the 35 to the 50. But, you know, Larry, I wonder in retrospect if they thought maybe now we should have run the ball in the first series instead of throwing the ball three
maybe.
Times. So from the 50, they take over. First and 10 from midfield. Die on the carry off the left side. Fights, churns inside the 45 to around the 43, maybe the 42-yard line.
He does a nice job of running behind his pads. I know Coach Glass told us that last night in the interview, but he does a really nice job of getting his pad level down and getting behind his pads and bouncing off people.
Gains 8 on the play, second down and 2 from the 42 now, the Hawks.
This is the prescription for J.A. They need to keep the football away from Mr. Dixon and company.
Canning to the bottom along with Dalton Potts. One back in the backfield. Dye's got it again around the left side. 40, 35, all the way down to the 33-yard line. Even at this, if they work their way down for a score, think about the fact that Hartley's been so explosive every time they've touched
sure.
the football.
Sure.
They can counter with the score. So
that time, Jacob Sullivan and Colton Swick did a great job for Jonathan Alder. They got to the next level. They walled off the linebacker for Hartley and allowed them for, you know, the running back to have some room.
First and 10 now for the Pioneers from the 33 of Hartley. They came in, Jonathan Alder, the number 4 seed. And Bishop Hartley, number 5, of course, the top 4 teams host. Die again, there's a flag on the play, and he got only to the 33-yard line, and that's it. We'll sort out this situation with 2:45 left in the quarter.
There's a flag on the play.
Flag resting at the 32-yard line. Going to be against the Hawks, I think.
Well, if it's offsides, it should have stopped the play.
Should have been a dead ball, but then you're asking to reset the clock. We don't want to do that.
No.
It's a sideline warning.
Oh, here we go.
It's the second one. So this can be penalized. Remember, on the first play from scrimmage for Jonathan Alder, Hartley was given the warning. So the second time, then you get assessed the penalty. So mark it inside the 30-yard line down to the 28.
The get-back coach is going to get fired. Everybody's got one.
Second down and five from the 28. Keep it on the ground. This time a different ball carrier. Big Mr. Foose has got the carry that time. And this is a guy that goes 6'1 and 240. Austin with 39 carries for 399 yards. Now over the 400-yard mark. The three-year starter. They'll get a nice gainer.
They put Austin Foose in the shotgun. It's their version of whatever you want to call that offense, where you have somebody besides the quarterback in the shotgun, and he just grabbed it and went right down the middle of the defense.
They're going left to right. He's on the far hash right now at the 22-yard line. First and 10 from there.
Same thing.
And direct snap to Foose. Eisnagel blocking on the outside, inside the 20, down to the 17-yard line. Notice the Preston Eisnagel is a wideout. Yep, the wide side of the field there, near side as we look at it. He's blocking on the outside. He needed one more block, but still Foose with a nice gain inside of the 20, down to around the 16.
Cameron Culver did a great job that time fighting off a Preston Eisnagel block. And I'm telling you right now, Cameron's not feeling very good because he had his head down and he got drilled by the running back. He's a big dude running the football at 235, 240 pounds. And,
second and four, Larry, from the 16-yard line.
Same formation flipped.
Yep, this time Eisnagel to the top. It'll be a direct snap this time perhaps to Foose again. He's got it. Off the right side, inside the 15, down around the 10-yard line, and that'll be enough for a Pioneer first down with 1:15 left to go, and now 1:12 left. Again, the clock is skipping some time, so it went from 1:15 to 1:12, but it was stuck on 1:15 for a couple of seconds.
Yeah, I think the clock is accurate.
It doesn't like all the even numbers.
Doesn't like all the numbers, right?
So it's going to be first and goal because the ball is just inside the 10-yard line. So first and goal from there with 1:06 left to go. Hartley up 21-0. Eisnagel to the top this time. Again, three backs in the backfield. Foose. The Dave Mann. It's like watching Dennison from a few years ago.
Yes, it is.
Off the right side and gets it down to the 9-yard line. That time they stack it up after a short gain on the play.
Well, what Foose needs to do here is he needs to cut this thing back because as he starts to his right, the entire Hawk defense runs to their left. And if he just cuts it back, he might be able to crease a seam and get it into the end zone here.
Jacob McFeeters on the hit that time for the Hawks. Gain of 1 second and goal from the 9-yard line. It's funny for Eisnagel to go to the sidelines, get the play, and then to see him go as a wideout.
Right.
I don't normally see that.
But we're going to see it again.
He's to the bottom of the formation. He's the only wide guy, three backs in the backfield. Deep man is Foose. He's got it. Looks for a gap. Puts his head down. Burrows to around the 8-yard line. A short gain on the play there as the Hartley defense stacks it up in the middle. And that'd be the last play of the first quarter. All Hawks. Marquette Dixon with three touchdowns after the first 12 minutes. Bishop Hartley leads Jonathan Alder 21-0 on the CCL Game of the Week presented by the Mount Carmel Foundation on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820.
Hi, I'm Mike DeAndrea from Miracle Motor Mart. We have a large selection of fresh, off-lease, low-mileage vehicles at great prices. Please visit our website at MiracleMotorMart.com, where you can choose from over 350 vehicles which are priced to sell quickly. We deal with over 20 lenders to arrange your financing needs with rates as low as 2.9%. Go to MiracleMotorMart.com. You'll be glad you did.
Malik & Malik, a family-owned law firm that provides quality and compassionate legal representation in the Columbus, Ohio region for people who have suffered injuries and deserve proper compensation. Our Columbus, Ohio attorneys are dedicated to helping you recover your rightful compensation for job-related and worker compensation injuries, as well as injuries resulting from car and truck accidents, dog bite claims, and more. Visit us at maliklawfirm.com.
You are listening to WBSG Columbus St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820 playoff action, Division 4 style. I'm glad to have you aboard, Randy Reinhardt and Larry Wolf. as right now we head into the second quarter, and Bishop Hartley on top 21-0. They have 205 yards total offense, 197 rushing, 8 passing, and the 1 pass play to Culver. 64 yards rushing for Alder. That's it. 7 first downs to 4 in favor of the Hawks. 2 penalties for 20 yards against Bishop Hartley. No turnovers in the first 12 minutes. Larry, your impressions of the first 12 minutes?
Well, obviously Hartley's been very dominant on the offensive side, but this series of plays that Jonathan Alder's run with the single wing look with Foose carrying the ball works out there at the 20-25, but as you get closer to the goal line, there are no safeties, there are no D-backs for Hartley. They just pack everybody in, and there's too many hats in the box.
So Ice Noggle will come back at quarterback now, and just like that, we have a timeout. Early in the second quarter, before we even have a play, a timeout is taken. So with that being said, Larry, as we assess the situation for Bishop Hartley, this is a team that has played so well. And you look at the caliber of their schedule, too. Their two losses were to the two top teams in Division III. They lost to Central Catholic out of Toledo 31-28. Then they also fell to DeSales 31-24, a game we did on AMA 20. So the first half of their season was loaded. I think when you look at what the Hawks did in the last half, Brad Birchfield felt maybe that caliber of opponent was not nearly what right. He saw in the first half. He wondered how his team would look in the playoffs.
Well, and the one nice thing about Hartley's second half schedule, though, is you can heal some bumps and bruises. You don't have to play guys that are dinged up a little bit. You know, it's not like you're coming down the stretch and you have to win 3 tough games in a row. What they were able to do was rest some kids that might have had some boo-boos, and they're now ready. They're, you know, everybody on the sidelines dressed and ready to go. So Hartley doesn't have anybody missing. And it's important this time of the year.
Third and goal from the 7-yard line. Is this a passing down?
I would think it's probably the fade route down here in the bottom to our man, number 25, Mr. Koenig.
Is this 4 down territory, 2 down by 21? We'll see.
Probably.
Ice Knuckle back to throw. Throws the fade to Koenig. Jump ball, and it is knocked down. Great defense by Manley. One-on-one, knocks it down. It's 4th and goal from the 7-yard line. You called it, and great defense that time by Manley.
What Koenig needed to do there is what he did was he faded away, and he allowed the defender to get inside him. What he needed to do is stick his foot in the ground and come back to the football and high point it.
Yep.
And then he might have been able to outfight Manley for the ball.
Or even reach around because he was falling backwards, right. And he almost gave himself no chance.
He almost allowed himself to get a pick, and if that would have been a pick, it would have been 104 yards the other direction.
So it's 4th and goal from the 7-yard line. Koenig again going to go wide to the bottom of the set. Die in the backfield. Foose back there.
Koenig is their best.
Ice Noggle rolling to the short side of the right. Now slips, rolls back, throws the football, and the pass incomplete in the end zone. On 4th down, waiting to see, and no flag on the play. A little contact there, 5 yards deep, and coverage on the play. Nicely
Cody
done for Kirkbride.
Hawks
by Kirkbride. So it will fall incomplete, and Bishop Hartley will get it back. The pass intended on the play for number 18, that is Colton Swick.
Cody Kirkbride had him stride for stride, but at the last minute he reached out and kind of tugged on his jersey, and you could just see the jersey pull away a little bit. I don't think it mattered because the ball was, you know, not on target. But however, if you're a Jonathan Alder faithful, you're not happy about that. I wouldn't have called it. I didn't think it was pass interference, but if you're a JA person, obviously it was.
Pioneers of the late substitution, 1st and 10 from the 7-yard line now for the Hawks. We blink the scoreboard out again. I'll let you know in a second how much time's left. Hand off on the ground. Fighting, churning, Dixon gets it across the 10 to maybe the 11-yard line. Clock back on. It's 11:43 left to go early in the second quarter.
One of the things that you can do against this Hartley Hawk team is you can get your defenders up front in almost like a root hog where you just go and make piles. And you don't allow their line to push you off. And that way the linebackers can clean things up.
2nd and 6 from the 11-yard line for the Hawks.
Now, you can't do it every play, obviously, but you can, you know, first down, you know they're going to probably run the ball. This looks like a jet sweep coming.
Cone the up, man. He exits the backfield.
Rocky.
Toss sweep, far side. It goes to Dixon. Dixon up to the 14 and brought down near the 15-yard line. Short side of the field again with 11:09 left to go. It'll be 3rd down now for the Hawks.
Yeah, as soon as the fullback went in motion to the Hartley sideline, you knew it was some kind of rocket or toss sweep because that's what they do. So now you have a 3rd and 3. I'll be surprised if they throw it. That's all I'll say.
3rd down.
They're in there foot to foot.
Ball just past the 14-yard line. 10:45 left to go. Looking for a seam, and the Hawks fight to get the ball up to the 18, maybe the 19-yard line. And from this vantage point, let's see if Blackman and company have enough for the 1st down.
They do. They ran that inside counter play with the wing back. They fake the toss and come right back with the counter. They're in there foot to foot.
That's a guy you forget about, too, is Alexander Blackman on the campaign. 132 yards, but he's got a good size frame, too, at 5'11 and 215 pounds. This is a guy we'll see in the backfield, maybe not as a wingback next year, as a junior this year.
Maybe a fullback next year.
Yeah. First down. Culver on the counter play. Gets it up to around the 23-yard line. The blocking continues downfield all the way up to the 30-yard line. They're going to flag the Hawks, I think, on that play because not giving up was, I think, Cody Kirkbride, and I think they're going to call him for... No, they're good. They're going to call a foul the other way.
They're going to call face mask,
and that's probably why Kirkbride went down as he was being grabbed at the 29-yard line because he fell on the defender for Jonathan Alder. So it looked like at first they were going to call it against the Hawks, but he was pulled down, and he was pulled down by the face mask. So that is a penalty that's going to take the ball up to the 39-yard line. So that's why the play continued.
Yeah, I think he had Brian Blocka, the safety, just locked up. And Blocka was trying to get off the block and grabbed him by the face mask, and they both went tumbling down.
Brian Blocka, 68 tackles, 5 tackles for loss, and 5 interceptions on the campaign. First and 10 Hawks from the 39-yard line, 10:04 left to go. Rolling, and this is Cole, who's got the ball, and Phillip up to the 44-yard line. A story that we've documented in the past about Phillip Cole. This is a young man that moves in from Missouri and has really done a fabulous job. 5'8", 160, and a baseball player and a football player. He had 12 carries for 90 yards and a touchdown coming into this contest.
And he has some real scoots. He can flat fly.
Second down and 5 from the 44. Dixon to the top of the set. Manley, Culver to the bottom. Blackman on a wing to the bottom. Make that a wing to the top now. And a flag. And they're going to call a procedural call against Bishop Hartley. 4 seconds on the play clock, so it wasn't delay a game.
I got a feeling the center punched a football there. I was looking, and I didn't see anybody move. Nobody was in a stance yet. And I just think he just moved the football and or changed his grip, took the hand on or off the football.
Not a bad night for football either at 48 degrees as we start this contest.
It's about 85 in this press box.
Taking off the coats. Shoes are next.
I don't think so.
Second out of 10 from the 39. Toss sweep far side. It's Culver. He's got some room. Motors across the 40. The 45 midfield and knocked out of bounds after he crossed midfield and has enough for a Hawk. First down with 9:01 left to go. It seems like we've had a lot of living already in the first half. Still a lifetime left with 9 minutes.
Yes, 9 minutes left, and Hartley's had the ball for probably 12 minutes of the 15 minutes of this game.
And they're going to say he went out of bounds, actually, or touchdown at the 49-yard line. So the 49 is where they're going to place the football, and it's third down and less than one. Third and less than one, as they say he was down at the 49-yard line. So the Hawks are going to go with Blackman in the backfield. One man in motion, Dixon. They're going to hand it off to Blackman. Quick hitter right up the middle, 45, 40, 35. Blackman all the way down to the 32-yard line before he's brought down. Picks up 20 yards on the play with 8:55 left to go. Dixon was the motion man that time, but he was a decoy.
Yeah, actually, it was Nick Onaga.
Onaga to carry.
Yep. And he just squirted through there quickly.
So Onaga picks up a nice gainer all the way down to the 31-yard line.
That's almost unfair. They run their best running back in motion like it's going to be a toss sweep, and then they give it to the little fullback who squirts through and you can't even see him. It's not fair.
From the 31 they go. Ruby from a pistol set. Backs off set.
Jet sweep.
Hands it off. Culver, and he is whipped down back at the 41-yard line. Daniel Gowans not falling for it that time. Returning starter. His older brother played football at Alder, and his sister very active in 4-H and rides horses. And knocked down, they're going to say, forward progress to the 39-yard line. So lose about 7 or 8 on the play.
I think that's the first loss of yardage for the Hawks tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a jet sweep that was set up out of the pistol formation, and you could see it coming. I mean, when they run the two ends on the same end of the line, normally that's
second
a jet sweep.
Second and 18 from the 39-yard line. Culver in motion. Goes back in motion out of the top. Ruby rolls left. Looks downfield. Guns a pass downfield. Pass is incomplete inside the 20-yard line. There was contact and coverage along the far side of the field as the Hawks do a rollout that time. And Ruby looks downfield and tries to throw a target right down to Manley. And pass falls incomplete.
Matt Seymour was on the coverage there for Jonathan Alder that time. He had real tight coverage. Had a chance to intercept that ball.
Seymour, cornerback, 6'3", 155, and a senior. 47 tackles, no picks, though, coming into this contest. Third down and long now for the Hawks, which is four down territory right now for Bishop Hartley.
Screen pass, what do you think?
It could go wide.
Yeah, you might as well.
Well, you got Dixon in the backfield. Maybe it's Dixon time again. Maybe the Hawks will take a timeout. And they do. 7:49 left to go. We'll pause for 30 seconds. CCL Game of the Week presented by the Mount Carmel Foundation on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820.
This is Bobby Dawes for Bob Boyd Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in Lancaster, where the deals have never been better than during the Ram Power Days. Save up to $11,000 on new 2016 Ram Crew Cab 4x4s or get 0% financing for 72 months on all new 2016 Ram 1500s. Shop us 24/7 at bobboyd.com. Come see us at Bob Boyd Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram in Lancaster, where the best deals you'll see are always on Route 33. Good people, great deals. It's the Bob Boyd way.
Scoring it plenty tonight in the playoffs, guys. Scioto has a 21-14 lead over Maslin, and Pick North has extended their lead. It's 21-7 over Bradley.
Wow. Pickerington North, the team that got some momentum with that big win over Gahanna Lincoln last week.
Absolutely.
In overtime. Come on, please! Third down, and 18 from the 39-yard line.
This could be a Ruby keep, too.
Dixon in the backfield, one man in motion, that's Culver. Dixon on the delay. And they stack it up at the 36-yard line. Nice job by that defense to stay at home. There was a paw that hit him at around the 39-yard line, then wrapping up and ending that play after a short gain was Casey Yutzi. Yutzi was a starter on offense, both at center last year and this year at left guard, and also goes in that rotation in the middle of the line this season as well, too, with Austin Foose and Casey Fogle. So now it's fourth down. And just about 16 for the Hawks from the 37-yard line with 7:14 left to go. No,
something
go
Hartley doesn't do very often. They're punting.
You think so? I don't think
so.
No. And they lose the handle of the football. No, I didn't think they were going to punt it. Nick Onega was the up man, and he lost the handle of the football. They snapped it to him. He lost it, went back to his right to pick it up, and then just fell on the football.
Coach Birchfield is not a happy camper.
Did you see the blocking that was set up?
Yeah. He hit the wide side, and it might have gone for a touchdown.
Nick Onega is a guy that will catch that 9 out of 10 times. So with that, the ball goes back to Jonathan Alder. Moved the ball very effectively last time, mixing in that single wing look with the nice noggle at quarterback inside the 10-yard line.
Well, the straight-up shotgun handoff was working well.
Well, handoffs to Dye, too. Yeah, you're right.
A good, tough running back. I like Dye. He looks good running behind his pads.
Ice noggle back at quarterback, Dye in the backfield. He's got it. He's going nowhere. Stood up. Boy, great penetration by the Hawks. Among those helping to make the play, Thomas Kazmir stayed at home.
Jamie Dye, tackle Mike.
Thomas Kazmir not only stayed at home, he put one of the JA offensive linemen in the way. I mean, he used the blocker to make the tackle. I mean, it's physical up front.
So a loss back to the 39-yard line. Loss of two on the play, second down and 12, 6:38 left to go first half.
You know, when your defense end can take an offensive tackle and put him back into the lap of the running back, that's not a good thing for the offense.
Canning to the top, too wide to the bottom. Ice Snoggle going to call his own number and keep it and bounce it outside. 40, 45-yard line and bent down there. He thought he had a gap when he bounced it to the outside, but closing rapidly was Cody Kirkbride.
He did have a gap, and then four white shirts showed up in an angry mood. It's Hartley has tremendous team speed on both sides of the football.
Yeah, you saw the speed of 6'4", 230-pound Cody Kirkbride right there, Larry, because he closed rapidly on a guy that thought he had the corner.
And the play was stacked up inside, so the Mike backer, Cody Kirkbride, had to come up inside first, and then he ran him down on the perimeter.
Cody was special mention All-State last season. A lot of these Hawks are going to get awards again this campaign as well, too.
He won't be special mention this year.
5:47 left to go. I feel like a base runner here. I go from right to left all the time getting around that pillar. The ball at the 45-yard line, third down and six. And a whistle and a timeout. I think Brett Glass, the head coach, wants a timeout, and they will take their second timeout. We'll pause for 30 seconds on the CCL Game of the Week here on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AMA 20.
Education First Credit Union is your total mortgage source. Whether you are looking to buy your first home, refinance your existing home, or take advantage of your home's equity, we are a mortgage lender you can trust. We take pride in providing the most comprehensive line of mortgage products at very competitive rates and terms. Education First Credit Union is an equal housing lender, NMLS number 811029, and federally insured by the National Credit Union Administration.
Guys, it's not looking too good for Lancaster. In the second quarter, they trail Huber Heights Wayne 35-0.
Yikes. Yikes.
Yeah.
Well, we saw that week two early in the season against the Sales, and they weren't impressive then, but they turned it on. Carpenter got them playing well, but they're struggling here in week number 11. Third down and six for the Pioneers from the 45. Ice knuckle, quick pop, pass incomplete for Koenig. Pass was high on the play and overthrown. It'll set up a fourth down situation as Manley on the coverage just made sure he wasn't going to catch it, and he just laid him out.
Well, the thing that Hartley does is they get up in your face. Their corners play, it's a man technique. They get right in your face, and they'll run with you right in your hip pocket, and they'll just dare you to catch the ball over them.
Manley and Cole are deep. Remember, Eisnagel is the punter as well, too, so you can look for a little trickeration, as you like to say, occasionally, maybe from this set when you're down by 21 in the playoffs. Got to make something happen. Low snap, gets it, lost the handle, got it back, then kicks it. And that was a kick just to survive, and it heads out of bounds and not stylistic at all.
They could have gone for it. It's about a 10-yard punt.
They're going to mark it out of bounds at the 41-yard line, so maybe it'll be 15. 14 yards.
Mm-hmm.
But he had the ball, lost the handle, picked it up, lost it again, and then on the third time, it was the charm. He was able to boot it, but that was out of desperation. And no, he said, I wanted it at the 41. Now, he moved it back to the 40. These guys don't agree. What's going on here?
I don't know.
Did I not see? Okay.
You
I
saw.
Did.
You
all
saw.
Right.
You saw it. 41, 40, 220, 221. It's pretty much all ball bearings.
Whatever it takes. So from the 40-yard line, first and 10 now for Bishop Hartley, up 21-0 in this contest.
I'm running out of wire here.
5:24 left to go. Now, see, I can see him come down to my side.
Oh.
Okay. Oops, Culver in motion, slips, gets back up, handoff Dixon, big gap up the middle, 40, 45, takes defenders across midfield, and the scrum moves forward all the way to the 46-yard line. Larry, he carried defenders for 5 yards.
Well, there were nine guys on it, one guy standing by the pile, one guy behind the pile. He had nine guys in a scrum that he was pushing the pile. And that's the same play he scored on earlier. That's a fake the jet sweep and fake the fullback and then run the tailback.
Gain of 14 on the play, make it 13 now as they mark the knee down at the 47. First and 10 from the Alder 47. Hawks up 21-0, 5:04 left to go. Culver in motion, bottom to top. In stride, gets the handoff. Waits for the blocks, looks for a gap, finds it. That's one of those plays where you say, I'll take what I can get, and basically actually pushed his lead blocker, Thomas Kazmir, into the play, and there's a flag at the end of the play, but Kazmir was looking for a block, then he established that, and they took what they could get. The ball's going to be marked around the 42-yard line.
That's twice we've seen penalty flags from the back judge on blocking downfield. Last time it was a face mask on Jonathan Alder. I don't know what this one is. Maybe.
Well, the flag's resting at the 33-yard line. The line of scrimmage right now is somewhere around the 40 or 41. With the blocker is gone again.
The blocker was clearly ahead. The blocker was clearly ahead of the football, so I'm just wondering what this is.
Dixon, 9 carries, 148 yards. Personal foul against the Hawks. 9 carries, 148 yards for Dixon and 3 touchdowns.
Not exactly sure what he did, but
personal foul on the Hawks.
You can get that personal foul penalty if you're blocking behind the ball. But in front of the ball, he must have done something on the block that we couldn't see.
So it goes back to the 43-yard line of Bishop Hartley. They have to get all the way down to the 38 of the Pioneers. I've got that as a 1st and 19 officially. From the 43. Manley in motion to the bottom. Handoff goes to Culver, and he's going nowhere. Knocked down back at the 41-yard line, and lucky to not lose the football as they sandwiched him high and low in the play.
Well done by the Jonathan Alder defense that time. They ran the inside handoff to the wingback. It was defensed very, very well by the Jonathan Alder defense inside Daniel Cowens.
And Hunter Maynard, number 41, yep. Returning starter at inside linebacker, and their signal caller helping to make the hit on the play likes baseball and weightlifting. 58 tackles, 3 tackles for loss, and they'll make it 4 for him, and 1 interception. Second down and even more. They need 21 now for the first down. Ruby has Dixon in motion. Little bubble screen out to Cole. Cole tries to slip through two defenders and got it up to maybe the 48, maybe the 49-yard line before he's brought down. So they pick up some of the lost yardage, but it'll be third down and long now for the Hawks.
Well, it's going to be third and about 14 or 15. And, you know, the last two drives, Hartley's kind of stalled a little bit here. They've kind of gotten away from Marquette Dixon, and, you know, they're just kind of meandering around out there right now.
So they need about 14 from the 48-yard line. 3:28 left to go. Hawks up 21-0 in this one. Two to the top, one back in the backfield. Dixon in motion top to bottom now for Ruby on this third down play. Jake lost the handle, falls on the ball. Back inside the 40, lost the handle again at the 36-yard line, and it's covered up by Jonathan Alder.
Nate Sullivan on the recovery that time. Ruby had the football. He was on the ground, he had the football, and he just couldn't corral it inside and squirt it out.
He thought he did the right thing, and it looked like he did by falling on the football, but somehow it escaped him. I wonder sometimes when you do that, Larry, if your knee doesn't kick the ball out of your possession.
Yeah, your knee, your rib cage, something, it just squirts. And sometimes the tighter you try to grab it, the more it squirts. You just got to get in the fetal position and hug the ball.
So the Pioneers on a short field, first and 10 from the 36 of the Hawks, 3:10 left to go. Bishop Hartley up 21-0 in this one. Two wide at the bottom, Canning the widest, Potts in the slot. Dye's got it. Little skip and a step inside the 35 to the 33-yard line. Little hopping around the 37-yard line and picks up about three on the play.
And that was my big man, Mr. Amaya, there on the tackle. Ethan Amaya just smurfed him. I mean, he grabbed him from behind and just flattened him.
A man who likes military history, and he'll be back next season for the Hawks as well, too.
I knew I liked him for a reason.
Oh, boy.
Did you say history? There you go.
I said military history.
That's even better. Is there any other kind?
Baseball history. Just made this
week.
Don't
bring that up.
Second down and 7 for the 34. Yes, it still stings. Dye, that guy, got hit by Blackman after a gain of 1 on the play. Blackman just stuck it to him.
By 30, Alexander Blackman for no gain.
Jack Baughman and Blackman just, they both got there in an angry mood at the same time. J.A. has to do something on this drive. They get the short field, and there's going to be under about 2 minutes when this play is over. They've got to score here.
And you've got to think it's four down territory, too, by 21
Absolutely.
Points.
Absolutely.
They have not attempted a field goal, by the way, Jonathan Alder, in the last two seasons. Third down. We'll call it 7 just about. Eisnagel rolling to his left, looking, has time, still rolling, looking, tucking, and throws pass. Is caught inside the 16 around the 15-yard line. Potts makes the catch. Dalton Potts on the reception. And that's a nice play. And I was looking to Eisnagel. He was about a yard and a half behind the sticks when he finally released that football.
Cameron Culver on the tackle there. It's a great form tackle. Nice shoulder tackle. Picked him up off the ground and deposited him on the sidelines. Very good fundamental tackle there.
Gain of 19, so they pick up the first down. And then some first and 10 from the 18-yard line now for the Pioneers. 1:51 left to go in the first half. Swick, a wide out and a tight end. He's been playing a lot of tight end in this contest. From the single wing look, it is Foose inside the 10, the 5, fights, turns, and stretches, and breaks the plane for the touchdown with 1:46 left to go. It's 21-6 now in this contest as Austin Foose takes it across the goal line for his 9th rushing touchdown of the campaign.
Just a straight power play off left tackle, and Foose was not going to be denied. He got hit about the 5 or 6 yard line and then took one more step and then lunged for the end zone and got there. Now that's a big play because it cuts the lead to 14. The bad news is there's still a minute 46 to go in the half.
But the good news is they'll get the ball to start the second half,
that's
too.
That's correct. So Hartley's going to have a minute 46, and they may just go right back to Mr. Dixon.
Ethan Gordon, 43 of 47 on extra points this season. The snap, the kick, it is up. 44-48, 21-7. The Hawks lead. We'll pause for 30 seconds here on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820.
Hi, Vince DeAndrea from Miracle Motor Mart, and I'd like to share a letter from one of our customers. Dan says, I can attest to their quality customer service and their commitment to delivering an unmatched customer experience. I have personally purchased my last 10 vehicles from Miracle Motor Mart, and if my extended family is included, that number jumps up to over 28. Sincerely, Daniel Horgan, Mayor of Akron, Ohio. Miracle Motor Mart, where we treat everybody like the mayor.
Pickerington North has just scored. They have a 14-7 lead over Springfield. And Olentangy Liberty leads Orange 14-3.
And here it's 21-7 on the Disco scoreboard with 1:46 left to go in the first half. Randy Reinhart, Larry Wolf. Scott Rex, Greg Sivaldi, glad to have you aboard for this contest. Foos 13 yards out. Gordon, the PAT, four play, 36-yard drive after the fumble. It took 1:24 off the clock. So apparently all the drives take just more than a minute, and that's it. Gordon with the kick, and the return's going to start from the 21-yard line for the Hawks. Up to the 30. Out to the 36-yard line. I'm going to guess that's Danko because he's one of the up guys on the return for the Hawks. And it is Ben. So a guy that had a good game the last couple of weeks, in fact, against Lima Central Catholic and Reigning Sports Academy. In fact, when you look at the Hawks, they've won not only six straight games, but they scored 36 points or more in each one of those contests, including pretty much doubling that in the last game at 72 of a Reigning Sports Academy.
Well, I think they've had six running clocks this year, some ridiculous number like that. I mean, it's crazy. Their offense is so prolific.
And they rushed for over 600 yards last week. That's hard to do that if nobody's on the field, let alone against an opponent. First and 10 from the 35-yard line. 1:40 left to go. Culver in motion. Backs offset. It's Dixon time. Dixon got hit once at the line of scrimmage. Not enough to stop him. Fights his way up to the 43-yard line. You know, there's pursuit in the backfield. Gowans thought he had him back at the 34-yard line. He just bounced right off of him.
And Foos had him as well. And they just couldn't. I mean, those are two big guys. Now, Jonathan Alder's got some big dudes up there. So
gain of eight rapidly to the line. Second down and two. 1:21 left to go. They hand it off to the up man. Up across the 45 to the 46-yard line. On the carry that time is Nick Onaga. Onaga should have enough for the first down. Let's see where they mark it. Oh, they're going to mark him down at the 44. Wow. Yep. He extended across the 45, so it's going to be third and one. 1:05 left and ticking. Rapidly back the line, the Hawks. Kirkbride tied into the bottom. Two guys to the top. Backs offset. Ruby rolling left, looking, gunning long downfield, throwing and waiting for the football, and the pass is short on the play, and it falls incomplete at the 25-yard line. And Larry, he had a man deep downfield.
Jaden Manley was wide open. He just couldn't get his shoulders turned to get the ball up in the air. When you're going against your arm, he was rolling to his left. He's right-handed. You got to get your shoulders turned. You got to put a little extra air on that one because it'll tend not to want to sail on you.
All right, what do you do here? 21-7, yep. 51.3 left to go. Fourth down in inches.
They got the beef in. They got Blackman. They got Cone. They got them all in there. Marquette Dixon's going to get this ball, I think.
Ruby under center. Cone the up man. Dixon the deep man. He's got little toss. He's got the first down. Pushes the pile. Pushes across midfield. All the way down to the 49. That will stop the clock momentarily as they move the chains with 45.5 left. Hawks rapidly trying to change from the big offense to the smaller, rabbits and rhinos, is what they used to call it, from the 49. 38 seconds left to go. 35. Ruby under center. Little boot, looks to his left, rolls, looking, gunning downfield. Pass is picked off, intercepted on the play. Picked off by the Pioneers. They have it at their own 42-yard line. Intercepted on the play by Brian Blacka, who makes his sixth pick of the year.
Jake Ruby should have run that ball. He had about 10 to 15 yards of open space. He could have run that ball easily and gotten the first down and put the ball in field goal range or close.
So it'll be first and 10, Pioneers from the 42-yard line. And the clock says 23.8 left.
One of the things I talked about before the game was the one-on-one matchups out in the corners here. The corners will take the JA receivers man-to-man, and so you've got a chance to go deep if you can beat McFeeters. Nobody else has been able to do it this year. Or you can beat Cameron Culver. Nobody else has been able to do it this year.
Do you look for Koenig here on this first down play? Or are they going to go to
take the knee?
Take the knee.
Because they're
going to
get the ball. They're going to get the ball back.
Oh, the Jonathan Alder fans are not happy for two reasons. One, I think they would like to see them do something aggressively, but Hartley had a hard time getting the 12th man off the field along the far side, and they got him off just in time, and there's 12 seconds left to go, and the Pioneers are leaving the field saying we'll get the ball to start the second half and try to cut the lead there. 21-7 is the score here at the end of the first half, and Larry, your thoughts about that?
Well, I think Hartley put the hammer down early, and then for some reason they let their foot up off the gas. They made some mistakes. They fumbled a fake punt. They fumbled a quarterback exchange. Those are not the kind of things that Hartley usually does. So I'm sure Brad will go in and do a little coaching here and probably get the troops fired up again.
Yeah, that interception by Ruby late in the first half, and also he lost a snap for a fumble as well, too. So after no turnovers in the first quarter, the Hawks stumble a little bit, but they still lead by 14 at the break. Speaking of breaks, we're going to take one, and when we come back on the other side, it'll be the highlighter, and I will talk to the principal of Bishop Hartley, Mike Winters, will join us here at halftime. All that plus Ryan and Lee will have the scores from the other games, and Todd Bell will have a review and a preview of Ohio Dominican football. But here at halftime, regional quarterfinal action. Bishop Hartley on top of Jonathan Alder 21-7 on the CCL Game of the Week, presented by the Mount Carmel Foundation here on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820.
Because you and the sunrise have a lot.